We certainly want to thank all of the activists, Keith, and all of the activists from BAM, all of the activists that are here. And certainly as we're moving forward, we want to move together in truth and in unity. We begin as we prepare to close in the name of God, the beneficent, the merciful, the one God to whom all praise is forever due. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. I greet you with the greeting words of peace we say in the Arabic language. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam, sir.
As our attorney and activists are communicating over the case itself, of course, the district attorney has his job. It just so happens that he, along with many other district attorneys just like him, have dramatically failed to prosecute police for wrongdoing. And our attorney described it as the DA described it with us when we jammed him the day of that first rally. He shared with us that there's a special protocol between DA officers and law enforcement that allows law enforcement to build up their defense. So he told us. So now, why is it Tony Peroni charged as an accessory?
That's right.
They're giving him time to build up his lies, called a defense. And so, as we're now confronted by a system that has proven not to police itself very well at all. You remember a few days ago there was outrage because the government bailed out AIG. And before they could get the money in the bank, the executives of AIG forwarded themselves somewhere, there's a debate now, somewhere between $73 million and $218 million somehow found its way into their personal pockets. Well, that's all to say that when you have a system that's designed to support the powerful, to keep in place the system as it has existed, we cannot be satisfied. We have a particular history. We know, I think it was mentioned that policing in its modern construct found its beginning about 1910. Well, there was a rash of lynchings from the Civil War to 1910, and 1910 did not stop the lynchings. So when we study the history, we already know that we're not confident and we're not comfortable that police tell the truth first. In fact, in most occasions, our experiences have been that police lie first. So now, when there's a case of this magnitude, if they would lie to you about the speed that you were driving, if they would lie to you about whether or not you were talking on the cell phone when you passed them by, if they would lie to you about whether or not you had a seatbelt on, if they would lie about these minimal charges, what then happens when maximum charge potential occurs? Well, in looking at this issue, we've come to understand that our brother Oscar and his life is meant as a sign for all of us of what must be done. There's a systemic problem here. We began addressing the police bill of protections called the Bill of Rights that allow them to walk away from crimes without an investigation happening as it would if you and I were accused of a crime. We've seen that. We know it must be addressed. But if we take it a step further, a few weeks ago, Charlene Muhammad from The Final Call wrote a story. It was the headline of our paper. And it was called The High Price of Police Brutality. And she covered city after city after city after city that are being sued for tens of millions of dollars. In fact, you don't have to go outside Oakland to find tens of millions. The Grant family is now suing BART and BART police and those responsible for $50 million.
All right.
The Ryers case settled in how many dollars?
$10
$10 million on the Rioters case alone in Oakland, and with the plethora of cases around the country where cities are settling, generally settling out of court occurs when it comes to the realization if we go into court, it's going to cost us more than the settlement. So now the high price of the settlements is really a fraction of what a judge might have authorized if they completed a case. Well, this is all to say that if we can find in a courtroom reason, or out of a courtroom, reason to settle at a dollar amount, why could not any of those cases find settlement in a criminal court? Well, evidently there's something wrong in the system. One of the clear things that Chief G demonstrated systemically, and he's a sign of many others, is when law enforcement officers break the law, law enforcement authorities never admit to it. They circle up the wagons and defend the department. Well, I thought when you carry a badge and a gun, your duty was to protect and serve the citizens, not to protect and cover up for the others that have guns and badges. So now I think we need to pursue a matter very specifically that demands that law enforcement authorities, chiefs, captains in Oakland, the chief of police is not a part of City of Oakland Police. He's not a part of the union. So he alleges, therefore, to have some autonomy from the union, except, well, if a police chief has to give his officers instructions and they're fighting with him, as sometimes they will do, what then is his authority? So the police chief then becomes a politician. And it seems to be politically expedient to do what pleases the union, because the union is a politically organized force. The strongest unions in the state of California politically are the police officers' unions and the prison guards' unions, and they happen to work hand in hand. Three strikes, arrest them on the street, fill up the prisons, and keep them gainfully employed. So as we're looking with our sights set on Sacramento, we should now be in dialogue with our legislators to ask whether or not some teeth can be placed in the hand of a police chief, or some teeth to bite, if in fact his officers can violate the law and the department itself will not charge and pursue the officers that violate the law. It seems to me that if you worked for me and you shot somebody, then at least I could punish you. And if I do not punish you, then that assumes to me to be a sign that you agree with the shooting. Chief G, do you agree with the shooting of Oscar Grant? Do you believe that that shooting was justified? Maybe you should be made to take a position. But to take the position of cover up, do nothing, when Johannes Mezler shot Oscar Grant and he refused to talk to his department, some departmental action should have been taken to discipline a wayward officer right away. Now, if you study the police shoots throughout the country, rarely, if ever, do you hear the police chief say that my officer was wrong? My officer should have reported. My officer should have behaved differently. If the police chief cannot control those officers, then that chief should not be the chief.
That's right. That's right.
Just be clear. These are people that work for you. You can't control and contain your own employees. They can do anything they want. And the DA who relies on them to bring cases all year long, now becomes the sole source of investigating the people they work with daily, there's a problem here. And I think our role is to point it out. How many have heard of the Little Rock Nine? One of the breaking civil rights cases. When those students went to that high school campus at Little Rock, the first law enforcement agencies that came to keep them out. They could not trust local law enforcement to protect them. Local law enforcement were spitting on them. Then they brought state police in. And the state police didn't come to protect them. The state police came and locked the doors on them. It took an external force to issue some protection for those students. Quite frankly, I wouldn't have wanted to go to school there if I needed guns to get me through the door. However, that's another issue. The issue here now is who protects the rights of the people. And if the DA and law enforcement agencies have such a special relationship that the DAs fail to adequately investigate law enforcement officers in their wrong deeds, how do we know that they don't adequately investigate? Ask the rioters. Were they acquitted?
No, not all of them.
Well, all of them that got to the courtroom were acquitted.
Yes.
One of them didn't get to the courtroom.
No,
he's still on the run.
He's on the run. Last they checked, he was in Mexico, which is among the reasons that Johannes Mezeli ought never to have been offered bail.
Right.
They knew, going into that hearing, that the man had family in Germany. The officer that fled to Mexico, they said, had family in Mexico. Well, to offer a man bail under these conditions, knowing that he had the resources to flee, we have to consider whether or not the DA has our best interest at heart. But we also now must be very focused on what comes out of Sacramento as it relates to police brutality issues. What are the laws that protect people from police? By what standard are law enforcement officers investigated? And is the standard utilized effective? I think it's proven ineffective because no DA prosecutes a law enforcement officer for killing people or brutalizing people hardly anywhere in the state or country. Evidently, we need to now place a focus on Sacramento. Now, some in Sacramento have responded to the murder of Oscar Grant. We want to thank, in his absence, for making an effort, Assemblymember Amiano from San Francisco, along with Senator Yee. In my hand is Assembly Bill 312, which was endorsed a few days ago by the Oakland City Council. I don't know who put it before the council. I got the feeling it was probably our sister Desi Brooks. Is that true? We think so. Now, what this assembly bill addresses is who has investigative authority over BART police officers accused of wrongdoing. So it requests the establishment of an office of citizen complaints. Last week, the BART officers were here. I forget my brother's name. He signed a letter with Chief G for support.
Yeah.
What was his name? The officer in the blue sweatsuit. I lost his name. I got it. He gave out his car.
Ruben.
What was it?
Ruben.
Ruben. But brother, to his credit, acknowledged that he was wrong for signing that letter. That if he had to do it over again, he would not have signed a letter asking for support for Johannes Mezeli. But listen to what he said in another part of his dialogue. He said, if you know of people that have complaints about BART policing, give them my card. Well, that's not policy. That's PR. Let me say that again. Giving out your business card does not represent policy. It does not represent procedure. How many cars does the man own? He doesn't own enough cars to share with everybody at Ryan's Bar that if you have a problem, call me. And what will he do? When the call comes, since there's not evidently a well-crafted procedure. So the state bill, Assembly Bill 312, offers a procedure that takes authority out of the hand of BART and places it in the hand of a director for citizen complaints that can make recommendations that include the disciplinary action against officers that have gone wrong. Now, I said before that police chiefs don't seem to offer disciplinary actions against officers no matter what they do. So since police chiefs don't seem to offer disciplinary actions against officers no matter what they do, I wonder if we should now appeal that not only should the officer be disciplined if he goes wrong, but the chief themselves should be disciplined if their officers go wrong and the chief fail to discipline them. Seemed to me that should be a strike against the police chiefdom, against his career as chief. If you cannot correct wrong officers, you don't need to be chief. But we want to thank and support, if you see fit, an assembly bill that begins the process of crafting a review board that has the teeth to discipline wayward officers. I think that's a step forward. In fact, they have written in here that no matter what BART comes up with locally, the state would take precedent over local action. Now, while the local BART authority should move forward with its efforts to develop a review board, it's a review board that would then come under the watchful eye of the state and its Office of Citizen Complaint. So, sisters and brothers, it's important that we pay attention to the legislation and the legislators and what they're doing. When we took our caravan for justice, it was to address a myriad of issues that seem that their focus from legislative levels are legislation which diminish the rights of the poor and rob us of our rights to breathe free. Police get plenty of extra rights. They have their own special Bill of Rights. Well, I think they need an East Oakland Bill of Rights, where we're robbed of them with regularity. I think we need a Bayview Hunters Point Bill of Rights, where we seem to be robbed of them with regularity. But for legislation to be crafted to offer the ability to cover wrong deeds by law enforcement, I think we need legislation crafted that there be intervention whenever there's a law enforcement produced homicide, since the evidence already proves that police chiefs are covering up for wayward officers all over the country. I think the state should intervene every time police shoot somebody. Now, this is critical because, in truth, again, if we're expecting the police themselves alone, reality is it just doesn't happen. And so, as our guest speaker stated, public pressure has meant more in those few occasions where there has been a prosecution. I think she said since 1910, one police officer has been convicted for murder. Since 1910, one. Well, it is our intention that before 2010, that there'll be two or more officers convicted to make our conviction. We need to continue to place appropriate pressure on the district attorney's office. Our next report will come from our brother Zach Carey. I'll say before he comes that we turned in all the filings required for the recall of the DA. They took a fine-tooth comb to every signature on the initial petition and discovered, they said, that there was an I that was not dotted from one of the signatures. And they kicked back the petition based on a non-dotted I from one signature. Brother Zach, I went and talked to the person whose name they kicked out, and she told me, I just voted for Obama. I didn't have any problem with my registration. Well, since we know the DA's office and the police departments have a strange relationship, I wonder if there's a friendly relationship between the DA's office and the registrar's office.
I
just wonder. Aren't they in the same building?
They
might hook up for lunch. Did you get that petition? Yeah, I got it. Hand me that bacon lettuce sandwich. How do we figure out a way to kick it back? Well, they found a way, but that's okay. We got a stronger way than their way. Because our way is backed by the will of the people. So if they want to kick back from a few signatures, and we'll go get hundreds of signatures. So that we ensure that the number that they have set as a minimal standard, we're going to do overkill. Y'all all right? We're going to overkill it. We want to make sure that we have more than the necessary signatures so that if one or two don't have an I dotted or a T crossed, that there is no way possible for them to stop this machine from rolling. Now, some would say, but Orloff is on his way out anyway. Yeah, they always say that. Jerry Brown used to be the governor, didn't he? Is he trying to be governor again? So Jerry wasn't gone. Jerry just, he's a shapeshifter. Y'all with me now? He slid on down to KPFA. He slid over to the city of Oakland. He slid around to be the attorney general. He's a shapeshifter. So don't think that they're gone. So I don't know what Mr. Orloff thought to be his political future. I just think that he doesn't have a political future in Alameda County because we are going to drive him out. Join me in the seat. Pastor, who's going to carry us into more detail with the recall effort, please receive our brother Zach Carey. Bring him on. Don't think I took all his words. He's got plenty.